This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I'm sitting here with Chris Childers, and we are discussing the Seabull Sailors program that is at Golden Gate Yacht Club. What exactly is this program?
Hey, Karen. The Seabull Sailors program is an initiative by U.S. Sailing. We're hoping to remove barriers to the sport and really barriers to continued participation. So U.S. Sailing saw a big dramatic decline among middle school age kiddos who've maybe completed a summer camp but can't figure out how to continue to access the sport. So the Seabull Sailors program goes specifically to our sailing communities around the country and tries to figure out ways to remove those barriers by providing equipment, coaching, and consulting with each club to figure out ways to increase participation at their center, in their region, and around the country.
So what is the relationship between the Golden Gate Yacht Club and your program?
Golden Gate Yacht Club has a youth sailing foundation. They applied to be a part of the first round of the Seabull Sailors program. So there was an application process in 2019, and they got in. They are a supporting center. Each region comes with several supporting centers and one primary center. So Golden Gate Yacht Club is one of two supporting centers in the Bay Area, alongside Alameda Community Sailing Center and the Treasure Island Sailing Center.
So what is this experience like for these middle school students who come out to sail on one of these sailboats?
That is a great question, because one of the things that really called me strongly to this program is what we do here in San Francisco in our unique location is very special to me. I wasn't ready to accept a cookie cutter program from U.S. Sailing, but what we're able to do is really organic to each individual center that we do. And of course, at Golden Gate, we have one of the best venues you could ask for. We get our middle school kiddos really pre-high school coming out to see if they want to continue sailing on a high school competitive sailing team, to see if they might want to try out keelboats in that environment, to see what it's like to learn other great life lessons that you get from sailing. What's their experience like day to day? We do sailing school just like other folk. We do it in a pretty cool place and on a fast, fun boat, and really just focusing on helping kids have a great time, learning how to be good learners and community members as they're doing it. You know, one of the big things is high school sailing in California is really competitive. One thing Golden Gate Yacht Club really wanted to do with its Seabull Sailors program is provide a feeder program to help out the greater high school sailing program in the Bay Area with more folks who've got a foundation of skills before they even get to high school. But we're really proud that we can get sailors on a fast, fun boat learning the basics to give them a better shot at having success in high school sailing.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the program. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. A little crisscross applesauce there, and that song always reminds us that Tuesdays at 9:40, we do a segment with the folks at SailSportTalk.com. Normally co-hosting this segment would be Karen Lyle, and we've had Patty Mangan come in a couple of times, and it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show as a guest and now co-hosting with me, the lovely and talented Marie Rogers. How are you, Marie?
Hey, Rick. How are you? It's great to be here with you today.
Great stuff. Let's bring in our guest, Marie. It is Mike Sudo. He was in the recently completed TransPAC race to Hawaii. Mike, welcome to the show. For those that don't know about TransPAC, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's a race from Los Angeles, San Pedro, but it would be Los Angeles to Hawaii, and it takes boats anywhere from the fastest boats get there in about 5 days, and the slower boats get there in about 2 weeks. So it's a race from, I guess, half the Pacific.
Okay, Maria, why don't you ask? I'll do one. You do one. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. So, Mike, I followed you on the tracker the entire time. I know this is not your first attempt. Both of us were in the race in 2019. 2019, your boat had some problems. How was your effort? How was your whole program different this year from last year?
Yeah, 2019 was almost like a starter TransPAC. It was a really good learning experience. About a third of the way into it, our rudder bearing went out. That's kind of like if you're running a marathon, maybe you break your ankle or you severely sprained it. So it was probably like for a marathon about mile six, mile seven. So the best thing to do is to walk back to the starting line as opposed to try to complete the race. So that's what we did. And for 2021, we made sure that rudder was complete and sealed and ready to go, and just more experience. That really helped a lot.
Help me with this term here, Mike. I know that one of the competitors did make it in, but that they had broken their spinnaker and did the rest of the race with a pulled out head sail. Does that mean there's no mast and they're like holding a sail with their hands? I mean, what does that mean?
Oh no, a spinnaker is it's an extra sail that more like a parachute, but you have two or three different sails to use. So the spinnaker makes kind of like for a car, put it in fifth gear.
Mm-hmm.
So the other sails could make me put you into only fourth or third gear, but it would still be moving forward. So yeah, the sails with high winds and stuff, they'll rip. It all depends on the quality of the sail and then how windy it is.
What does pulled out mean?
The spinnaker was pulled out?
P-O-L-E-D, pulled out head sail.
Oh, yeah, they had it on the pole, on the spinnaker pole. They had it pulled out. There's a big spar that comes out and kind of holds it down, but you can connect it to the mast.
Hmm.
And, yeah, Mike, you're so busy racing. They realized what was going on the other boat.
Right, we had no communication with the other boats or anything, so.
Yeah, well, I have a question. If Rick, were you done? Mike, so, okay, this time you started out again after, you had to turn back last time. What was it like setting out with a totally refurbished boat, a totally different crew, and you got past the point where you were last time where you had to turn back? What was it like heading towards Hawaii this time?
Well, we had about half the crew from 2019, so we had four out of the eight return with us. And it was after you reach the halfway point, most of the boats have like a little celebration party. So that was extremely, you didn't want to get cocky, but you're happy that you got farther than you did last time. But the goal was to finish, and luckily we completed it this year. So that was really exciting for me, my mom, and our whole crew.
How many are in the crew? Because it looks like there's, I don't know, maybe about eight or nine. And then do you sleep in shifts? How does that all work?
Basically, there's eight in the crew, and there would be three above at all times. And one person would go back to sleep at 1 hour, and then one person would replace them. So every hour, there'd be a shift change of one person. So it'd be 3 hours on and then 4 hours to rest. But you still never get that 8 hours of sleep that you really want. So after about 8 or 9 days, they're pretty sleep deprived.
So Mike, for me, doing that race in 2019, I felt that the most arduous part was the sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
I did okay with all the strenuous parts, stuff breaking in the middle of the night, raining, losing headlamps, and stuff breaking. What was the hardest part for you?
Hardest part for us was we had little things that broke down. So none of the sails broke down. So the boat kept on moving at a fast speed. But downstairs, we had a couple engine problems. You need the engine to recharge your batteries because you have all the electronics going on, so the lights and stuff. So we had an engine overheating problem and an internet problem. So small little things, but not enough to slow us down.
Couple more questions for Mike Suda, Rick Tittle, and Marie Rogers here on Sports Byline. What did you have a moment of peril? What was maybe the more stickiest situation you had?
Probably we're on it when the boat goes. It's on a heel, so it's all tilted a little bit. So the water that was supposed to come through the ocean to make our salt water into fresh water couldn't get any water because the boat was tilted a certain way. So we used it was a manual pump. So the salt water desalinator makes about 17 gallons an hour. and the manual pump only goes a gallon an hour. So I guess I just pumped it about 6 hours a day for about 3 or 4 days just to get enough water for us until we boat healed the other way. So that was probably a part where, you know, we're a little not worried, but, you know, no one wanted to slow the boat down to get water.
So I don't think most people understand that you're out there for a week to 10 days, some folks 2 weeks, and you're completely self-contained, and you can't get picked up by the Coast Guard when you're in the middle of the ship. In the middle of the ocean. So if something should go wrong, you're really on your own. There's a life raft. There also is a backup system, so sometimes the backup systems fail. So you sound pretty casual, but I have a feeling that there are times when you guys were thinking that the worst could happen before you actually arrived. Now, there was one boat that didn't make it that was near the finish. Did you hear about that when you're on your boat?
Was that lucky, the one with the rudder problem?
Yeah,
the Molokai
right,
Channel?
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't really know the details of it, but I know when a boat has a rudder problem, it's, like I told Rick, it's basically like breaking your ankle while you're running a race. It's pretty catastrophic. I mean, you can still move the boat around, but it'd be a lot. It's really hard to do.
The other thing, too, is I heard that there were actually people who came in a day before their hotel reservation, so they had to just sleep on the beach or whatever.
Luckily, there's two types of boats, and they're the race boats, and then their boats are just made with almost, some of them don't even have bathrooms in there, you know, and because it's all about weight. And then there's our boats, which is kind of like, it's called a racer cruiser, which has nice amenities like cushions and two bedrooms and two bathrooms. So half our crew slept on our boat for a few days.
Now, I know your all of your friends were really sitting on the edge of our seats watching you on the tracker, because each boat has a tracker, so we can actually watch you on an app on our phones, and we're extremely excited. Now, I know your mom, and I know she was really, really excited. Can you talk a little bit about your family and what you've kind of overcome?
Yeah, my mom's a great lady. She, you know, she realized my dream, and she tried to help support it as much as she can. And it was just so nice to see her. She was able to fly to Hawaii to meet me there. And I felt like so lucky, because I'm one of the, I would say most of the owners are, the average age of these owners are probably 70 to 74 years old. So being, I guess, a young 54, I was one of the few people that got to see their mom when they docked. So that was probably the best part of the race for me, the very finish. Incredible lady, love her to death.
That's very cool. And of course, when you're on a ship like that, it's, you know, it's serious business. And then while you're trying to have fun and you're with your friends and companions, there still has to be a chain of command. So does everybody buy into what they have to do and listen to the skipper, or do you ever have any like mutinous sorts?
We got really lucky. We had 8 great guys, and this is the first boat I've been on in 10 years. Not maybe one argument, that was it. And I have a captain named Luke Ackerman who put it all together. Couldn't, you know, he brought, I only knew about 4 of the crew members, but he brought the other 4 guys over, and just a great person. I just watched. My goal was my 3 H's, race with heart, humility, and humor. So that's what I was in charge of. And Luca was calling the orders, navigating, and when things went wrong, he had a plan of action to fix whatever problems we had.
Mike, when you arrived, when you crossed the finish line in Molokai Channel, and when you arrived in Alawai Marina, stepped on the dock, stepped on solid ground, what were you feeling?
Oh, it was the best. We had all our friends meet us there, and they gave us the real Mai Tais, you know, the ones in the pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
They cut pineapples for us and stuff, and everyone just celebrated, because even all the people who didn't make it in 2019, they were rooting for us also. So it was nice to keep trying and work hard for something and reaching your goal. I was really happy about that.
Last question for you, Mike. What type of financial commitment is this? I mean, do you have to pay to just get into the race? And like, does everybody have to fork out? Do you get a sponsor? How does that work?
Yeah. You have a boat like Walt Disney. I don't want to say endless supply of money, but they got the bucks. And then we're kind of like the low budget version of a racer. And for me, I think our budget was about $45,000. So it's not, I mean, it's a lot, but it's not, you know, I mean, if you really wanted to, you can save up for a couple years and make that dream a reality. So I want to encourage anyone who actually wants to try to do this. You can do it. You don't need this unlimited budget and stuff. And I lived on my boat for 6 months, you know, just to save up some money and rented out my house. And I was able to make that reality come true. So,
all right. That's Mike Sudo. Just completed the Transpac race. Sound like a lot of fun. And Marie Rogers, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Oh, can I say another thing?
Sure.
For the armed forces. One of the guys, he was an ex-Army guy, and he had a little PTSD, and he joined, it's called Warrior Sailing, and he's in charge of the Southern California district, and then they get people who served in the military, and they start them up sailing, and he's one of the essential guys on our crew right now. So it's called Warrior Sailing, and it's a great program for the military, and I highly recommend any ex-military vet to try it out. It's nationwide, too.
All right, very well said. Thank you very much, you two. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and come on back on Byline.